Darren and Brooke Aldridge have a brand new album about to come out. February 10th is the actual release date. Faster and Farther on Mountain Home Records. Big fan of Darren and Brooke. If you listen to this program, you know that already. And you've heard some cuts from the album throughout the last couple of weeks. Darren and Brooke Aldridge will be my guests. A great visit with Darren and Brooke Aldridge. I'm such a fan of this musical duo. I've seen them many, many times, and you're going to enjoy it. We had a wonderful time chatting about this brand new album, which will be available February 10th. I'm very happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass two of my personal favorites, Darren and Brooke Aldridge. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Hi. Good to be back.
You have a new album coming out February 10th, and it's on Mountain Home Records, Faster and Farther, and it's very... I really like, because I mean, I like everything that you've done, but I mean, this clearly shows influences of, I know you guys have been touring with John Cowan a little bit back and forth, but there's a lot of neat music. We're going to talk about some of the songs on here and how they got there, but this is really a neat, and by the way, when this show airs, I will have already played at the top of the show, Kingdom Come, so they'll get a flavor of how this, where this thing is going to take them as they go through it. But I just think you must have had a lot of fun putting this together.
We did. We had a great time in studio and as we traveled around and thought of things to do for this record. But like you said, most of all, we wanted to capitalize on the tour that we had last year with John, and we're continuing that this year. And it's just a lot of fun getting him in the studio. It's been great for all of us. As enjoyable, as fun, as growing as artists, as singing together, as it's been with John and putting on those shows. And I think that shined through in the record here.
You know, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile.
Well, we actually got after we started doing the tour with John, we got a lot of requests that, you know, from people, are y'all going to do a whole album together, you know? And before we had even thought about our next project in and he just happened to be in town the week we were working on the project, and he had actually pitched us some songs, so we thought, why not have him on this one?
Well, you got to. I saw you with John last year, and I think you had only been a couple months into that part of the tour when I saw you. And of course, I had to go see it. And I talked to John on the side, and you guys were over. The show was over, and I was talking to John. He's been a guest on the show, and I just am a real big fan of all the music that he's put out. And I said to John, this is what I say to everybody, are you having fun? And he says, are you kidding me? And he just pointed over to you guys with a big grin on your face.
Aww, that's great.
And I thought that was a perfect response. Are you kidding me? He's having a blast. He was having a blast. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I mean, so when you get John Cowan, then you get to pull in guys like Pat Flynn and all this other stuff and some of these tunes. And Kingdom Come, I have. Pat's been on the show also. Kingdom Come is one of Pat's. Pat wrote so many great songs. And Kingdom Come just starts, just briefly, why do you start off with that song? It's a little bit different, kind of a bluesy feel. And tell me just a little bit about that. And I don't want to keep you forever because I know you're real busy. But Kingdom Come starts off the album. There was a reason behind that. What was that reason?
Well, it's got the most energy, I guess you could say, when we all recorded that one. Pat pitched it to us and said it was one of the, he was holding for the next, maybe Newgrass record, you know, and he recorded it on one of his solo projects called Renew.
Renew, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And it just fit Brooke's vocal very good, you know, and we invited him in to record it with us so we could keep that same kind of feel. And, of course, it's got Cowan's, you know, taste on it as well, and we all got to singing and playing and just having a big time in the studio. And a lot of the folks, you know, Mickey and Ty and all the whole staff at Crossroads knew some of the Newgrass boys was in the studio. They was wanting to be down there for the day, and we recorded that, and it's like, oh, that's got the lead off record, you know. It gives such an impression and taste for the album.
It really does.
I thought it fit well with the title, too, because it, you know, starts out fast.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of got to dig a little bit deeper into the album as you go along, so.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think it's a perfect opening number on the tune, on the album, rather, and it just cooks. That's the only way I can describe it. There's just kind of this bluesy, there's this bluesy kind of turn to it, and it's just, well, people will hear it, and they've heard it on this show, and they will really like the feel. Some things about this album that One of the reasons that I, not only just do I like your performance and Darren and Brooke and the way you record things, I think we probably listen to a lot of the same kinds of music. I mean, I've heard you all do Neil Young tunes. I've heard you do Nancy Griffith tunes. And on this album, you still reach back into some songs. And I listened to, in particular, and I saw you do Someday Soon down in Raleigh, and I thought of Judy Collins. It's an Ian and Sylvia song from way back, but you listen to, you have a broad range of things that influence what you're doing. And talk about that just a little bit, and I'll get to some of the songs. But I think we listen to a lot of the same kind of music.
Yeah, we just like good music in general. It don't have to be stamped a certain genre, or you know, a good song's a good song, and good representation and performance of that all the way around is what speaks to us, and that's what we try to be as artists, and how we want to grow in our career. And with the last several albums, that's what we try to do, a little bit of something different, reach a little further back, like you say, and also just keep our stamp on our career and how we interpret the song and present it out there to our fans and people and friends like yourself.
Yeah. And
just how we want to do music.
Brooke, we'll skip into the middle of the album, and I'll come back because I want to talk about Fit for a King for a couple of reasons, but I just mentioned Someday Soon. Was that Judy Collins, I think, is in my mind what I hear of. What vocally, what brings you to something like that? How did you pull in that tune?
Well, I grew up loving the 90s, older 90s country stuff. And, I mean, I've always loved classic country as well, but the 80s and 90s for country music were really kind of my cup of tea. And I heard Susie Boggess do her version of Someday Soon, and that's the version that I always remember.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually playing down in Florida with John Cowan, and we were doing sound check. And this song, you know, Darren just kind of started playing it because it was one of the songs we sat around playing in our living room just here and hadn't really done out live or anything. And some of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band guys were there to see Cowan that weekend because they live around Sarasota. And so we just started singing that for sound check, like I said. And John said, "Do you guys do that, you know, in your regular band, like live and stuff?" And we were like, "No, we've never, you know, we never have." And him and the Nitty Gritty Boys were like, "Well, I think that's one y'all need to start putting in your set list, you know, and maybe even record it," John said. And so Darren and I were just kind of like, "Oh, well, possibly, maybe for the next album." And we did it that night, and you know, got a really great reaction from the crowd. And I thought, you know, this song, when I used to hear it, that's kind of how it made me feel too. So I think it just brings back a lot of good memories for people.
Everybody that hears it's going to remember it from somewhere. Now they're going to remember it from Darren and Brooke, but a lot of them are going to be thinking, "Yeah, that's a great song," and they're going to hear you do it, and they're going to go back like I did and think about where I made it. I probably first heard of Judy Collins. I'm older than you are. But that's probably my first exposure to it, and it even goes back further than that. It's an old folk. Ian and Sylvia were kind of like a folk duo during the Great Folk Scare, as they describe it, and they actually wrote the song. Fit for a King, the second thing on this, and let me just say this about the vocals, both of you combined. Fit for a King, and talk about it just a little bit, because it's a really great story in the song. About 30 seconds to go in the song, your voice is almost like intertwined. There's a part where there's a harmony part for maybe 10 or 15 seconds at about the 30-second toward the end, where that's the only way I can describe your voice is sort of just kind of intertwined around each other. And I think some of the vocalization you've done on this album is on par, if not the best, that I've heard that you do. Not that you don't always do great stuff, but you know what I mean on Fit for a King. Tell me about the song, and then you know what I'm talking about. With about 30 seconds to go, you do some real nice vocal gymnastics.
We enjoyed the always singing together in our blend, and Brooke does a wonderful job singing the lead on there. It speaks to a lot of people, you know, and it's one of those songs that can be interpreted a lot of different ways, wouldn't you say, Brooke?
Yeah, I think so. Carl Jackson sent us this song, actually, and when I first heard the lyrics to it, you know, after going through so many songs that we had gotten from different people, you know, I said, that's got to be one we put on the album. Just the message in it itself, but I always try to go from a standpoint of the lyrics as well and try to feel whatever the message in the song is, and I thought that song definitely needed a powerful delivery because of what it talks about. You know, it's just a homeless person on the street who's preaching the word of God, and you know, he's preaching fire and brimstone is what it says in the song, and I thought, you know, I need to showcase that somehow in my voice. And when Darren and Charlie Robertson joined on that song, you know, it was just like, wow, that's exactly how I thought it should sound, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just that power and force should be behind it.
Darren, on This River, and I bounce around a lot when I look through song lists, so don't panic if you think I'm skipping something or dwelling too long. But on This River, Darren, that is really features your lead vocal, and it's an interesting story that you sing, and it really makes it, you talk about open to interpretation as to what the river is in that song, and it's really because of the way you present it, and a little bit about what message or what you were trying to convey, because that's a great song, and you do it so well. Both of you guys sing so well, and when you add in people like Vince Gill and John Cowan and Charlie, it's just the vocals just get overwhelming. But on This River, talk about that just for a minute, Darren, if you could.
It's one we've been doing with John. John wrote the song several years back, and I always, when he first sent us over that, it was, we've been doing shows together, and he said, I'm going to pitch a couple other songs here that we might want to start doing in the coming year. We was working up a set for the City Winery in Nashville, and that was on there, and I called him and said, man, yes, please do that. The singing is so good, and just what it says, and then we found out kind of the story behind it, that one of his good friends that he got to know, it's fans of his, and they got to be fishing buddies. He took John fly fishing a lot, taught him how to use the fly reel and how to fish, and I think it got away, you know, it was like a place John could go hang with them and fish and get away from all the music business and the touring and the singing and stuff, and he really found a great place of faith with that and a good friend in that. And he invited those guys down to one of his performances, I think it was in Nashville, or Franklin, at some point. And this tragic happened. They was hit by a drunk driver and killed that night.
The father, his best friend. And
yes.
Okay. Oh, God.
It was a wife, a father, and then two of their children. And the mother and one of the sons lived, and then the father and one son passed, so... It's very deep to John, and that, you know, that inspired him to write that song.
Well, Darren, you just nail it. You absolutely nail it. You get the whole point across, and it's just a really nice lead that you're doing there. It really is.
How they hear that?
Yeah.
The river can be whatever you want.
That's right.
It to be.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It can be whatever gets you to that place. That's exactly what I hear it as, and I think that's what you convey as you're singing it. Still Falling, I'll just say, is the Darren and Brooke song. That's just you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we got that from a good friend who we've pulled songs from many times in the past, Miss Lisa Schaefer and Dennis Duff, and Janae Fleener actually wrote that tune. But it was a song that Lisa said was one of her favorites. She wrote Corn from the past.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of other things that we've done in the past. We just like her writing. But she had actually written it about her husband, you know, and I thought, well, that's definitely, like you said, a Darren and Brooke.
It's Darren and Brooke. It's the story of Darren and Brooke every day. That's what I thought when I heard it.
And that's where the title Faster and Farther actually came from as well. You'll hear that.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you for picking that up. The Eugene and I'm, we'll talk about these as much as you want, but I do kind of bounce around because my thoughts just kind of stray a little bit. Eugene and Diane is, I will describe that this way. It seems to currently, you know, there's this theme, if you see something, say something. I would describe it. I want you guys to talk about the song that you're singing. But that song is kind of like, if you feel something, say something.
Okay.
Right.
Right? And it could be anything, but talk about it. I love that song, Eugene and Diane.
Yeah, I've never heard it before till Carl sent it to me, and you know, he's of course singing and playing the guitar on it, and it's just great performance on that, let alone the message in the song, you know. And I guess you've always got that old girlfriend or boyfriend that you look back on that never worked out, that you know, everybody's got that story from high school, or you thought you'd married the person, or it didn't, or, you know, you wasn't good enough, and vice versa. You know, that's basically what the song speaks about, and everybody can relate to that. And I think somebody wrote us the other day, and they'd heard it, and it was like, all sad songs end, and is always in bluegrass and country, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but
Carl Jackson, for sure.
It's a real story. Let's talk. We've talked about some of the guests, and I know that on Mountains of Mississippi, which we haven't talked about as a song, we've talked about John and Pat Flynn, but there are a lot. Talk a little bit about some of the people that you've pulled in to help you in the studio, not the very least of which, by a long shot, is Vince Gill, but you have a lot of people helping you out on this.
Yeah, we've made a lot of good friends over the years, and we've tried to include them and just do that in different songs and records we've done in the past couple records, you know. And Vince was somebody we tried to get on Snapshot, and when we recorded it, he was out on a big tour and really didn't have time to do that with us, so we spoke with him about singing or playing or whatever he wanted to do on this record, and it worked out. The time was right, you know. He invited us to his house and said, "What you want me to do?" And he'd be glad to do whatever. And he sang with us on Highway of Heartache and Mountains of Mississippi. And Rick and I both have always looked up to Vince. He's one of my biggest influences and reason I play music today. So that was a big dream come true for us. We've got to know him over the several years, and with recording the record, you know, got to be closer with him since we hung out with him at his home studio and house. He invited us to play the Ryman, the Bluegrass Nights at the Ryman last year, and come out and sing a few songs with him, and that was very special. And, but let alone just our voices blending together.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Good, and I've always, you know, wanted to sing with him. Our voices kind of have the same texture. I'm not near the singer or the vocal, you know, guy that he is, but we've got similar voices, I've been told in the past.
Oh, yeah, no question about it, no question about it.
And so it was very good to get to hear our voices blend together on the recording.
The Sacred Lamb. Sacred Lamb, and then we talked about Fit for a King, and there is always not a gospel sound, but there's certainly a spiritual and religious tone to a lot of the tunes, and I know why that is, but Sacred Lamb is the most overtly outside of Fit for a King, and then also Heaven Just Got Sweeter for You is like that also. But take a minute, either one of you, and talk a little bit about Sacred Lamb.
Well, Sacred Lamb goes back really far for Darren and I and our families. It was actually Darren's cousin, and this was before we met. I didn't know that this was any person that was related to him, but a good friend of mine that I grew up around and seeing her and her family in church, her father was a pastor, and she always used to do this song with her family when I was a kid, and you know, I always loved it. I remember once I got a little bit older and started taking singing more seriously, me and my parents asked her one time where this song had came from, and she said that an old Indian had wrote it, and that's, you know, they didn't really have his name, they just knew that it came from, you know, that kind of a history, and so every time they used to sing the song, I mean, you could just see congregations move. Or anywhere they sang it, it was such a touching song. And when I was in eighth grade, she actually was in a car accident as well and passed away. And so this song just reconnects me with her and her family. So we always try to do it every chance we get. And we had actually done it on our very first album that we ever put out, our gospel album, I'll Go With You. And just felt like it didn't really get the attention that it needed because it was such a powerful song with a powerful message, and so we felt like it would go really well on this album. And John actually kind of stumbled across it. We had sent him a set list of some stuff we were, you know, wanting him to learn for our shows, and he stumbled upon that one. He said, "Well, let's do this one." You know, he said this one really touched me in a big way, and so we decided to definitely do that one on this album again because it would just fit well. And it did.
So. It does. It's very moving. And of course, the way you do it, it makes it much more touching, I think. I mean, I just think the treatment, you know, songs are songs, but I think the treatment from the musicians and the vocalists really adds to it. I also mentioned the last cut. There's 12 cuts on the album. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Darren and Brooke Aldridge. They have a new album, Faster and Farther, on Mountain Home's going to be released, I think, February 10th. Am I right?
It is.
Yeah. And do we have some release? Do we have some events connected with the release of the album?
We do. We're February 10th. Actually, that day we're doing the Don Gibson Theater here in Shelby, North Carolina, as a release party. And we're also playing the following week, I think on that Thursday, I'm not sure of the date right off, but probably around the 14th, 15th, we'll be at the Franklin Theater there in Franklin, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. And then we're doing Chattanooga Theater there, and then over to the First Class Bluegrass in Asheville, North Carolina, that same weekend. And you can visit DarrenAndBrookeAldridge.com or visit our Facebook page and get the rest of the tour.
Yes, thank you for that. I always make sure I mention that, but you've helped me do that already. But the last tune, Heaven Just Got Sweeter for You, that's one that if there is a dry eye left in the house by the time you get to that one, there's not going to be. That's a very moving song.
It is. Jerry Sally and his friend wrote that song.
Diane Wilkinson, uh-huh.
And it very, like you say, it's hard to sing that without shedding a tear or getting very emotional, and that was the case for us. We'd lost a lot of great friends. It was close to Brooke and I both in the last couple of years, and that really hit home when we got to sing that one. And that's why we wanted it to be the last tune on the record.
Yeah.
Maybe it can touch people out there that's lost someone very close. I know that Heaven gained a sweet person, you know, and it makes it a sweeter place for us.
And the, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Brooke.
This whole album, I just feel like, we always pick very, very intense songs, I think, with a lot of emotion, and I think this whole album kind of showcases that, because starting from Kingdom Come till the very end, you know, it's just every song has some kind of deep meaning, so.
Well, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of emotion, whether it's up or down, I mean, or happy or sad, what you're evoking. But, yeah, there's emotion laden in every one of these songs, whether it's, you know, Cumberland Plateau is a more upbeat, I guess, if people want to describe things as bluegrass or not. But there are different tempos. Let's say there's different tempos involved. I don't want people to think they're going to listen to the thing and just it's all going to be down. It's very upbeat. But the message and the emotions are very, very powerful. These are not sad songs in that they're slow and sad. There's just real content to the way you put them on the record.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Thank you. We tried to, like a movie or a show.
Yeah.
We wanted this album to be that way from the beginning to the end, and it take you on a ride of good music, good singing, different stories, and all that fit into one thing.
It absolutely does, and I don't. There's so many great. And here's what I think happens, and I'm sure that it's happened to John, as a result of playing and performing with Darren and Brooke Aldridge. You take in other influences, and you pick up things, and you absorb those, but you reinterpret them. And I think this album shows what you've been doing over the last, I won't say last year, but it could be a calendar year. I just think your new influences come in, and I think that's one of the things that I like about you guys so much. Not only that. You're just great performers and tremendous singers and musicians. I think that you're always sort of bringing in new things and making them yours your own way. And we've talked about the songs on the album that you do that on, but I think this is picks up all those new. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I think this shows where you've been in the last year. It also pulls in things like you said, Sacred Lamb when you were very young, all these songs. But you're doing this in a way that I think is informed by what you've been doing as artists in the last year or so.
Exactly. And that's what we wanted to get across to people, you know, that just in 9 years of being Darren and Brooke Aldridge, you know, where we started, where we came from, and what all the things that we've gotten to do, so many great opportunities, and we're just blessed in that sense to get to be living our dream of what we've always wanted to do. So.
Well, I think you did it on Faster and Farther. I don't know where you got the jet.
That's a secret.
That's right.
Okay, so it's not yours on the cover. It's not. That's not your jet.
No.
Okay. Well, that's a secret.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you said it's a secret. Let's leave it that way. Well, I really do. I guess I really like this album. I'm so glad it came out. And I guess the first notice I got was the Kingdom Come, a little bit of the release of the making of the album, which had Kingdom Come, which, like I said, will immediately grip people and get them ready for the rest of the emotion and the performances throughout the album. But it's just really, really, you know, but I'm a fan. But I do think, aside from that, this is a great album. Forget the fact that I like you as people and I like what you're doing. This is just a fabulous collection of music, and you put so much thought into what you put in it and the way you present it. And if you describe, both of you already described why you did it this way and what goes into it. It's just exciting stuff.
Well, thank you much, Steve. You've been a real supporter and a great friend, and we appreciate all that you do.
Well, listen, guys, I will. Funny thing. In Raleigh, real quick, and I'll let you go. This kind of cracked me up because Darren, I think you were there at IBMA most of the week or part of the time, and Brooke, I think you came in that one. You just like came there like either Friday night or Thursday night.
This Friday.
Friday night. So, and you said when I saw you in the showcase, this cracked me up. And if you've ever been, if the listeners have ever listened to IBMA, people were coming to you, Brooke, and said you must be exhausted. And you said, well, Darren's been here all week. I just got here, so I'm really not tired at all. And there was just something about that that cracked me up.
That was great. I'm trying to get this up
both. Well, listen, I will guarantee you I'll see you again in this calendar year, hopefully more than once. But, gosh, congratulations on Faster and Farther. Mountain Home, they picked a good session to record, and all these influences. It's just exciting. That's the word that keeps coming back to me is exciting. So thanks so much for taking time out to talk about it.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for having us on.
All right. I'll see you guys later down the road, Darren and Brooke. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.